Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
Andre! The
China! WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what a...
Can you dig it, sucker?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. Back in the friendly confines of the Upper West Side of Manhattan, I'm your faithful host, the Mage One himself, Heel Rosenberg, a.k.a. Peter Rosenberg, and I'm joined by, as always, representing Uptown, representing Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, representing the physically large community everywhere. I'm talking, of course, about No Stat, Stat Guy Greg. SGG, how are you?
I am not doing great right now. I don't know if I have the flu or some type of flu-like symptoms or what, but I'm here for the people.
Well, you actually sound tremendous. I don't hear anything.
Well, you should have heard me earlier today or even yesterday. Yesterday was worse than today for sure.
Well, there's only one thing to do in a situation like that, SGG, and that is sit back, relax, fire up the WWE Network, and get some rest. Maybe binge watch all six episodes of Bring It to the Table. Am I right or am I right?
That's the only way to do it.
Well, we wish you the best, all of us in the Cheap Heat universe. No one is happy when SGG is not doing well. Let me start out by addressing something, SGG, from outside the ring. I want to start off by saying, keep the emails coming. I'm getting back to as many people as I can. They come in every day. So it's a lot of love from the Cheap Heat universe, and I really do try to get back to basically everyone. But I won't lie, there are a few I'm behind on right now. People who email me at my private email, which you guys have actually kept private because you're Mage, rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. But, and of course, you can always tweet us at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg. But SGG, I'd be remiss if I didn't address something that was discussed on another podcast. I have a hunch you know where I'm going.
Is this about to be a heated conversation?
Well, it's about to be a real conversation, SGG. It is a conversation that my dear friend, Jerry the King Lawler had on his podcast.
Ah, this conversation.
Oh, you thought we were going to the Corey Graves Booker T conversation?
I thought we were going to the Corey Graves Booker T, yeah.
No, we'll save that next because it all sets up what I'm calling for, which is a WrestleMania kickoff show match that we'll get into in a second. But Jerry Lawler on Dinner with the King, his podcast, told a story about Mark Henry approaching him in the locker room. And we mentioned this briefly last week, Greg, but I hadn't heard it yet. And I wasn't really aware of that much about it.
It was an interesting listen, I should say.
Yeah, and it sort of played out, and I wouldn't say it exploded. It wasn't the biggest thing ever, but it got picked up by a lot of places in the days that followed. So then I had to hear it because someone tweeted it to me, whatever. You know me. I always end up seeing it, even if I want to avoid it. Right. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm just going to say this. Mark Henry is a good friend. And I saw him earlier that day, and he actually did mention something to me. He was like, man, if Lawler gives you a hard time, you need to say something. And I didn't really know why he brought it up then, because I hadn't brought it up with Mark in I might have actually brought it up to him. Nah, it wasn't at Raw 25. It was at another pay-per-view
where I was like... Just to be clear, though, because the implication was that you sent Mark Henry to do your dirty work, and you did not, right? Just want to get that cleared up right off the bat.
Oh, well, you're a lawyer. You're a lawyer professionally, SGG, so you're good at handling the important business. Let me be clear. Not only did I not send Mark Henry to talk to Jerry the King Lawler for me at all, I was completely surprised and sort of left curious as to why he brought it up at all. The only thing that made it not curious is that that's just the kind of good guy Mark Henry is. So we are good friends. We have been for a very long time. The man was at my wedding. And he knows my wife and my family well, my brother, everybody. Dipperstein, he's mishpacha, as the Jews say. He's family. And so that's the only thing that makes it not surprising is that's the kind of guy Mark is. But I 100% did not ask Mark Henry to go have a conversation with Jerry Lawler for two reasons. One, I'm a grown man and I would not send someone to do my business like that for me unless, you know, most people would just say, that's it, end of story. No, I maybe there is a situation in which I would do that if like, if I thought it was a problem with someone really high up and I didn't have a relationship with them or, you know, someone I couldn't approach for some political reason, then maybe you'd be like, hey, can you help me with this? That's not remotely the case. Jerry Lawler, the legend Jerry Lawler, giving me a hard time on pay-per-views is not something I viewed as an actual issue. So while it was something that at some point me and Mark discussed, and I did, a few months ago, I asked Mark for advice. Because remember, we talked about it on the podcast. I asked the listeners for advice. I said, if King comes at me again, should I fire back? I asked it on the podcast. I asked Mark the same question, and then I sort of stopped thinking about it. And obviously, for whatever reason, Mark still thought about it, you know? And he saw Jerry, maybe it was the first time he'd seen him, and felt like saying something. That's it. So, anyways, not that big a deal. What I will say is, if Lawler took the conversation seriously at all with Mark and took his word seriously, you would think he might not then turn around and tell the story on his podcast.
Right.
Because to tell the story on the podcast is a sublime burial of me. You know, it's because obviously, Greg, you heard the story. The story clearly implies that I sent Mark Henry because I didn't want to do it.
Yes.
So by doing that, I will say that's inherently misleading because that's not the case. Now, listen, maybe that's what he thought, you know, that's what happened. But listen, the King is a legend and he's a wrestler through and through. He's working, bro. King is always working. That's what wrestlers are. He's been doing this his whole life. So he knew that when he tells that story, even in telling it and saying, I don't have a problem with him. And by the way, I believe he doesn't have an actual problem with me. I just saw him at the show. He was cool, man. I don't have a problem. And in fact, I don't mind him busting my chops. But let's just be clear. You tell the story to sort of make me look bad. Okay. That's 100% clear. So I just want to clear up that of course is not what happened. And you know, frankly, the only reason I was upset, Greg, that it happened at all is it was the same day that my $15,000 check cleared so I can perform on Elimination Chamber. And you know, listen, I'm paying hard earned money. I'm paying $15,000 per pay-per-view to have the right to talk. The least I can do is not be ridiculed on people's podcasts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that has to be it worked into the next contract.
Yeah, if I'm going to pay you $15,000 every time I get to be on a pay-per-view, I expect my coworkers to not say anything.
Yeah, a non-disparagement clause is not unreasonable for $15,000.
Now, let's get into the gossip about the other commentators because I find this more interesting. And I probably just took too long. I apologize. But I promise we're not going to talk about the IWC or random Twitter commenters today. I do think the Jerry Lawler stuff is interesting, though. Come on. I have a feud adjacent with a legend, so we have right. to address that. But let's talk about Booker T, who went on his radio show and said basically that if he sees Corey Graves, as long as they're not in the airport or in a venue, it's sight unseen. They're fighting. You heard right. this, right, SGG?
I did. I was shocked to hear that, too, actually, to be honest.
Well, you know what? You know the only reason I was shocked? I thought maybe there was a chance that Booker got irritated with Graves at times, because Graves does seem to be the one who on Raw, like, rips Booker all the time for saying certain things. So the only reason I thought I was surprised by it, though, was because I just heard Graves on Edge and Christian talking about how much he loves Booker.
Right.
Now, he and did sort of have... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, to me, like you said, we all hear how they speak to each other and how they carry on every Monday, but it seemed like just boys busting chops. It didn't seem like it was remotely that serious to me.
Well, and frankly, you don't have to work there to know. In fact, I don't even know this from working there. I only know this from hearing about it in interviews. But you know that on Monday Night Raw, there's a lot of production going into what's being said. So if Graves comes out and tells Booker, Booker, what are you even talking about? That doesn't even make any sense. I don't know about you, SGG, but I always assume half the time those thoughts are coming from Vince McMahon or someone else.
Yeah.
So I just was, that was the part that surprised me. Like, you know, listen, Graves, talked about on Edge and Christian's podcast, you know, Booker being ridiculous at times. I think all of us believe part of Booker's charm is that he seems to sort of just get on the mic and say whatever. You know? So I was surprised to hear Booker seem to have legitimate heat with Graves. And now the funny part is Booker says the reason they had him leave is because they didn't want him to kill Graves. And then Graves goes on Twitter and implies that his master maneuvering had Booker T removed. Right. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Physically Large. I think they're both lying.
I think they're both lying too. I don't know to what end, but yeah, I don't believe either one of them. I don't believe that, Graves had this big master plan to get rid of Booker T, and I don't believe, I just don't believe that.
So, and you don't believe they were separated out of fear of a fight. I don't believe that either.
No.
I think we said this last week. I think the answer is Jonathan Coachman is available. He was a great WWE talent for a very long time, who went to ESPN for nearly a decade and became even more legitimate, and now was available and looking to do something. And they thought, who would we rather have? Booker, who was originally only back on that job when he started filling in for Otunga. Would we rather have Booker, or would we rather have Coach? And I think they decided, let's just put Booker back on the kickoff shows the way he was, and let's add Jonathan Coachman. That, to me, do you think that's it? I think that's 100% it.
I think so too. I think so too. And I honestly, like, the posturing but going on between Booker and Corey Graves is, I don't want to say disappointing, but it's like, what's the point of it? You know what I mean? I don't see, like, there's not going to be a match. There's not going to be any type of payoff. It just makes it awkward for both of them at work over a situation that's not that serious, because they, like, they're both still working there. They're both still there.
Yeah, I don't necessarily understand that either. Like, what the actual payoff is, or if it just turned into actual heat because, you know, maybe Graves was like, oh, I like Booker. I just, you know, give him a hard time on the air. And then when he hears Booker say, I would beat him up. And I'm sure you heard this, Greg, being the uptown cat that you are. You have an ear for the slick-ish. The real line Booker T threw at him was when he was like, basically, he can't fight. He's on the bench. He's announcing for a reason.
Yeah.
That was the real sort of jab to me at Graves. Like, you know, if you bring up this guy can't work because he's injured in a way that's sort of making fun of them, my guess is that's where some of the heat on Graves' part came from, that made Graves say, yeah, basically that's why I had you sent off.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy about that too is like Corey Graves seems to be the only person, like he's not the only person in that situation, but he's the only person who has to defend himself from that criticism. Like, it's pretty reasonable why they're not letting him wrestle. Like, he has concussion issues. They don't want to risk, they don't want to risk, you know, him doing real serious harm to himself. He just wasn't fortunate enough to come up in the era of when they might overlook it, you know. You don't hear Daniel Bryan have to defend himself from that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the difference is, but it's just, it's interesting that that comes up. Whenever that comes up, it's always Corey Graves' name attached to it and the implication that he's not tough. I don't know what that means or what that says about him or anybody else, but it's just interesting that like he has to defend himself from that. And so many people who came before him are just like, man, well, it sucks what happened with their career.
I'll tell you what it is. That's an issue of Graves is now in a spot where he talks trash. And Graves talks a lot of trash. You know? And frankly, I think Graves, and, you know, I love Graves. Corey Graves, he's one of my closest friends in WWE. So I say this all with love, but part of what makes Graves interesting is that he brings a little bit of real life behind the scenes to commentary. You know, he did it with Enzo, which is why Enzo is the one who said that stuff about him, injury in their interview, you know, and, have you noticed that, like, even when Sasha was babyface recently, well, I don't know, she kind of still is. I don't know what Sasha's kind of in between right now. But he's the one who starts bringing up the sort of locker room heat on Sasha, too.
Yeah.
I think Graves does a lot of the dirty work. I really do. He's the voice. He's not the conscience of the WWE. That would be, of course, The Undertaker. But he is the person who expresses how a lot of people seem to feel. And so if you're going to be that guy who on Monday night in front of the biggest audience gets on that microphone and really says stuff, like when did he start with the Sasha stuff? A few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, he goes in and out with that though all the time. Like I remember even last year he would make comments about her attitude holds her back. This was like...
Yeah, no, you're right. And he did it on Bring It to the Table. He did not bring it to the table. I forgot. Yeah. Yep.
So like he's not new to that at all. But I mean, do we think that he has the freedom to really like, if that, do we think that that's what he really believes? Or like you said, that he is just the mouthpiece?
I think it's both. I think everything he says in that regard, he does believe. And I think also, it's stuff that's common thought enough that people are like, yeah, go ahead, say it. That's how people feel. These people need to hear it.
All right. Well, in that case, then yeah, it makes sense why whatever they have on him, they say towards him.
Sasha sent me a nasty tweet when I was watching the Super Bowl, and I didn't see it till the next day, but I had tweeted when it was like fourth down right before the Eagles kicked the field goal to seal the game. I tweeted, go for it on fourth, finish them. And I think I saw the next day Sasha tweeted me, sit down, after I said that, because she's a Patriots fan. Also, did you see Stephanie's pro-Patriots post?
No. I knew she was a Patriots fan, though. I don't know how much of that is
Why is she a Patriots fan, though?
She's from Connecticut, and they really don't have...
Oh, right.
They don't have... their own. So like, depending on where you are in Connecticut, you're either Yankees Giants or you're Red Sox Patriots. And I think she's from that side that leans more New England.
Well, Stamford's closer to New York though.
Yeah, but they have the money though.
I mean, that's big facts, but.
So like.
You gotta watch it though. Oh my gosh. It was such a heat magnet. I mean, or maybe it wasn't a video, it was just a picture, but she's like wearing the hat and pointing and looks like she's screaming. It was intense. I was like, whoa.
I didn't see any of this.
Heat magnet. Greg, are you planning on participating in tomorrow's festivities and potentially eating horse poop?
I am, no. There's nothing, I would never, there's nothing that could get me to eat horse poop. But I'm also not planning on participating in the festivities.
Horse poop or otherwise?
Or otherwise, yeah. How do you do that though? Like, why do you do that? What motivates you to do that? I can see if you lost the bet and you were forced to, or like, you know, there's a gun at the back of your head and like you have no choice, you know, you got to save your mom or eat the horse poop or something like that, like a drastic scenario.
Sure.
But like a joyful manure munching, I don't understand that. That doesn't.
A joyful manure munching, it's a very good point. I don't fully understand it myself, SGG. It's a great point out of you.
I don't get it. I don't see myself participating in that.
Now, is there any, what else outside the ring do we need to mention this week?
Jason Jordan had neck surgery.
I mean, that huge story.
Yeah, he had neck surgery. I believe it was either today or yesterday.
Believe today.
According to WWE, it was successful neck surgery. And so now we just wait for him to make his return to the ring. But as it stands now, he'll be out indefinitely. They didn't even give a timetable for his return. And I know nothing about this type of surgery that he had to have, so I couldn't even guess about when he should be coming back. But it sucks because this is the season. You know, this is WrestleMania season. And he's been performing very well in his role, if you ask me. And so to see him not be able to participate during the biggest time of year for his company, like what he works for, basically sucks. But
I am extremely bummed out about this. I mean, anytime you hear words like neck and nerves and things of that nature, you know, it inherently freaks you out a little bit. And man, I am, I'm freaked out about how long this could be. My guess is this is for some time. And I mean, it just couldn't be worse timing because you had to think he was on a collision course with Seth Rollins for WrestleMania, right?
Of course. Of course. And, I mean, regardless of what people feel about his
personality, he'd been getting, he had to be on pace for WrestleMania.
Yeah. And, what I was going to say was regardless of what people feel about his personality or whatever the case may be, the match was going to be a top level match. I don't think there's anybody
I agree
that could deny that.
Well, are there people who don't think he's a great character?
Yes, but they're foolish though. Like I don't understand because they like with Jason Jordan, right? We're all in on the gag that like he is being given opportunities that he doesn't deserve or whatever the case may be. Like that's the gimmick. So to have that as a critique of him is like, if there's any situation where like you're getting work, bro, is appropriate, this is the one. Cause they acknowledge
this is what they're doing. It's the worst example of it I've ever seen.
Like,
I mean, if you actually like dislike him and you're like, no, it's just that I think he's bad. No, he is awesome at making you hate him. He garners real boos. Like I'm again, this is my biggest disappointment in WWE right now. It really, I'm just hoping for some sort of best case scenario in which this is like, I don't know. When I hear words like this, I think your best case scenario is something like 6 months. I mean, with injuries like neck and nerves, your worst case scenario is he never wrestles again.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a really low bar. I mean, I just hope the guy comes back. I mean, obviously WrestleMania is out. You know, and they
at least a match at WrestleMania is out. Hopefully it's one of those things where like we still see him on Monday in in sort of the capacity that we saw him this Monday, where like, yo, you can't perform, get out of here. He interjects himself.
Well, here's the thing.
Anyway,
there is a world in which if you believe he's going to come back at some point, you just don't know when. How great would it be? And you could chime in on this at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg. How great would it be if he, the guy, if he has to be out for 6 months to a year, how great would it be if he continues to be a brat, maybe starts working for his dad and has a neck brace all the time and gets more and more heelish, but no one can touch him because he's the GM's son wearing a neck brace.
Brilliant.
You know? Like, I think that would be amazing. And by the time someone's able to put hands on him in 1 year, he basically has to become like a manager you can't touch. You know, a classic old school bad guy manager for a year and cannot get his comeuppance. And then at some point he does. Oh, forget it. That's phenomenal. Book it, bro. Book it.
And that's why I say a WrestleMania match is definitely out. But a situation like that, where like he continues to poke his nose in where it doesn't belong, and he knows like if you couldn't touch him before, you definitely can't touch him now. He'd kill.
I would absolutely love that. All right, SGG. Anything else from outside the ring?
The Miz signed a new contract, so he's going to be with WWE for the foreseeable future. I think it was a 4-year contract, and then. Other than that, we don't have anything from outside the ring. But I got to admit, though, we don't have much from inside the ring either. They didn't really give us a lot to work with this week, in my opinion.
No, I did not watch SmackDown, and I was temporarily concerned about it. And then I was basically told by multiple people, you did not miss much on SmackDown this week.
You did not. You did not. They unveiled.
What about the top 10 list?
Okay, so I have the SmackDown top 10. I'll give it to you right now.
So Daniel Bryan announced this on the show?
Yes, he announced that they were going to do a top 10 last week. And then this week he announced the official top 10, made it a point to remind everyone that he and Shane had no input on the top 10. That it was the superstars ranking the superstars, and then he unveiled the list. And it's going to be curious to me how they actually use the list, but here's the list. Ty Dillinger in at number 10, of course. Randy Orton at number 9. Becky Lynch at number 8. The Usos at number 7.
Okay.
New Day at number 6, Bobby Roode at number 5, Naomi at number 4, Shinsuke Nakamura at 3, Charlotte at number 2, and AJ Styles at number 1.
It's actually not a terrible list.
It's not a terrible list, but here's my issue with the list. So the list they said was going to be used to determine championship opportunities and give us fresh matches and everything like that. But as it stands, right? First of all, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn not on the list, which I thought was interesting. But then if it's going to be used to determine championship opportunities – then why even have, like, why have the champions on the list without saying, like, who's next in line for which championship opportunities? And the only two tag teams on the list are the Usos and the New Day. So are they telling us that we need to gear up for more of them for 2018? I mean, I don't mind, but those are the only two tag teams.
Don't mind,
on
but
the
we
list.
Just we just finished that.
Yeah, we just finished that. Those are the only two tag teams on the list. So as far as tag teams, the list doesn't do anything, really.
Oh, my wife has reappeared. I was getting very... I texted you. She went out for a random surprise walk with Bear the dog. Did you leave him in the hallway? Sad. There's nothing more pathetic, SGG, and I wonder if anyone out there listening has the same experience. When it's a nasty day weather-wise, and the dog can't come straight into the house because he's repug. And so when we go inside to get paper towels to wipe him off, he just sits pathetically in the hallway. It's truly a sad sight, Greg.
Poor bear.
All right. Poor bear, who should have been on the list, by the way. You just made the list. So I don't worry so much about the champions being on it. And I don't read that into, I don't read into that as, you know, it could be like any rankings, you know, where basically number one is the champion and number two is inherently the number one contender. So I don't view that as a negative necessarily.
Yeah, but just say that then. Like, what does it mean for everybody else on this? Like, what does it mean for Ty Dillinger? Is he automatically in the running for the U.S. championship? Like,
well, so basically you don't, you just don't necessarily understand what this whole thing even means.
Right. Right. And also, like, for this to be the first week that they were using the list, they kind of ignored it, right? Because you have these rankings, and then Charlotte didn't have a match. AJ was on commentary. I don't think Nakamura had a match. The Usos, I believe they had a promo. So it's like you have this list, and then you don't use anybody on the list. Like, these are supposed to be your 10, the 10 best. Like, you make a big production out of this list, and then you do nothing with it, which also, like, it's like, to me, them stumbling out the gate.
Did anything else, was that the most significant part of the show this week?
Well, the most significant part, they made us wait until the end, the main event for it. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn was supposed to determine the number one contender. And AJ Styles ended up getting involved. So now that match is going to be a triple threat match at Fastlane. AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
Main event for Fastlane.
Main event for Fastlane, which is March 11th, the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania weekend.
The last pay-per-view, the last stop on the road to WrestleMania, if you will.
Yes.
Of course, I will not be working Fastlane. I will be working. I will, in fact, be working the Elimination Chamber, the Chamber Elimination.
Wait, Corey Graves got you booted off of Fastlane?
No. Please don't. Corey Graves, listen. I was going to work Fastlane, but they were worried I was going to kill him. So they put me on Elimination Chamber.
It's probably for the best.
Actually, I believe Booker will be working. I think Booker's probably on the kickoff show for Elimination Chamber. And Corey Graves is working Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, well, Corey Graves can't hide from Booker T because he's on the Raw commentary team and the SmackDown commentary team. So
It's impossible.
Yeah, if Booker shows up, he's going to run into you, no matter whose brand. They can't hide him on a brand pay per view.
And I mean, listen, you may not run into each other at the venue. I mean, with the venue, they said they'll keep it cool. But what if they run into each other, you know, in the Vegas streets?
Yeah.
All right, so you really feel not really worth talking about SmackDown much this week?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Who was your MVP for Monday Night Raw this week?
My MVP for Monday Night Raw? Because I had WWE, because I walk with Elias, he's my MVP. He won the triple threat match against John Cena and Braun Strowman. Will be entering last at the Elimination Chamber, which gives him a huge advantage. I still don't think he's going to win, but I mean, come on. He just defeated John Cena and Braun Strowman in a triple threat match.
Is that his biggest moment so far?
I would say so.
Right?
I would absolutely say so.
I'll tell you, my... You know who I really liked on Monday?
Who?
I liked Nia Jax.
Yeah.
For some reason, it was just a squash match against some local yokel. But I thought that she just looked really mage in it. And I thought she did a nice job on the mic. And also, I'll tell you, my other MVP for the week is the city of Des Moines, who I thought was an incredible crowd the entire night.
Shockingly mage.
I don't know if it was the snow, had everyone feeling restless. I don't know what it was, but the energy consistently all night, sort of like this episode of Cheap Heat, the energy just surprised me.
Yeah, I really, and you know what? The crowd definitely has the power to like take you and bring you in on an otherwise dead show, but also, which this was not, but they also have the power to make a good show feel kind of boring. And, you know, kudos to Des Moines for showing up and not, you know, doing their part on what was a really good episode of Monday Night Raw.
Even though I just saw today the numbers were way down this week from the last week.
Absurd.
From 3.4 million, from 3.4 million to 3 million. Interestingly enough. But yeah, I gotta give props, gotta give credit where credit is due to Des Moines for holding it down. But yeah, I thought, you know, Nia needs more moments like that, you know, to just be reminded of like how dominant she is.
Yeah.
And I love her little power leg drop, speed leg drop thingy.
Well, it's like you said, man, she looked exactly how Nia Jax is supposed to look in a dominating effort. And we need more of that, especially if she's being built up as possibly the first person to defeat Asuka at Elimination Chamber. We need to consider her a serious threat. And so more of these squash matches are going to do that.
It's very interesting, the match they've added there for Elimination Chamber, which is in addition to the women's Elimination Chamber, you now have Nia Jax versus Asuka. And if Nia Jax wins, the main event of WrestleMania is a triple threat.
Yes. If Asuka chooses Alexa Bliss, which I don't think she did yet. So it's sort of convoluted, but because then like if Nia, I think they cleared this up though, actually. If Nia wins and Asuka chooses Charlotte, then Nia follows Asuka and that match
that
would
match.
Be a triple threat.
I got to tell you, that would be interesting. But do you think there's any chance Asuka loses at Elimination Chamber?
Nope. Because she's a star. People have paid to see the undefeated Empress of Tomorrow at WrestleMania in a women's championship match. Undefeated is not just a random superlative there. Like that is part of the intrigue. That's part of the aura. And yeah, she needs to keep that intact.
When was the last time someone was undefeated this long?
Goldberg.
Is that really what we think?
Well, you know, they say like Roddy Piper hadn't been pinned in 20 years or something like that until Bret pinned him at WrestleMania 8, or like Andre went undefeated for 30 years or whatever. Like those are supposedly worked numbers, but this long, I like in the modern era, it's Asuka and Goldberg, and she passed him months ago.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's really interesting. It's not, at this point, it's not a random superlative. It's, that would be a hard thing to explain to someone who doesn't get wrestling, who's like, wait, but it's not competition. I don't understand. But it's really relevant because it makes the character this special thing.
It is.
And once there's one loss, everything's different from that point on. You know, there's never going back on that. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. Now, here's what I foresee happening. I see Ronda Rousey being involved in a mixed tag match. I see Nia Jax, I see Asuka having a match with Charlotte and beating Charlotte for the women's championship and moving over to SmackDown. And I see Nia Jax and Alexa having a match at WrestleMania. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd like that. I like scenarios that keep Ronda Rousey, not out of WrestleMania, but out of the women's title matches. But, so that works for me for sure. It did look like at the Royal Rumble they were setting up for Ronda and Charlotte, but so we'll see like what they actually end up doing. But if Ronda goes the mixed tag match route, who's her partner and who are the opponents?
Well, originally everyone thought Rock, right?
Okay, so they'd be resurrecting now a feud from 2 years ago, three now, right? Because that was WrestleMania 31.
Oh, yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, because that was Santa Clara, right?
Yeah. Listen, I'm not thrilled by the prospect of that match. But at the same time, I'm on the same page as you. I don't think we need Ronda Rousey to show up and be instantly a part of the legitimate, like, women's title picture. I don't think it does anything for anyone.
Yeah, and it doesn't do anything for the title because, like, if she ends up working a Brock-like schedule, I'm okay with that, but I don't want her to snatch a title away until Brock brings that one back and we have that one back.
Well, yeah, and until it like legitimately makes sense that she could be that dominant a person.
Right.
Like, you can't just show up right away and take the title and walk away. That's absurd to me.
that's absurd to me as well. Like wildly absurd. And I don't think anybody wants to see that.
No, I don't think so either. Okay. SGG, what else? Anything else major from the week that was, one thing I do feel bad that we never addressed last week was Rey Mysterio at the Royal Rumble.
Oh yeah, he looked great. I feel bad about that too because he looked great. And I thought personally, that it was good for him to get the reception that he did considering the last Royal Rumble that he, made an appearance at. He was booed out of the building and, you know, I almost want to say understandably so because people were expecting Daniel Bryan, but, to get to make up for that moment, I think was huge. And like I said, he looked really good. I was loving the new tights too.
Oh, you're feeling Ray's tights?
Yeah, the new tights over the baggy pants every day, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every pay-per-view Sunday. I want to see the new tights over the baggy pants. Like, let's leave the baggy pants wherever they are.
I've never seen you this excited about a wrestler's tights before.
Listen, good looking gear is as much a part of the character as anything else, and it gave me that throwback Rey Mysterio feel, like that WCW
Cruiserweight
Champion Rey Mysterio. This was classic Rey Mysterio.
Well, I'll tell you what, I like where you're thinking, because you know that one of the biggest issues I've had with my guy Titus O'Neil is that I've never liked his ring gear.
Yeah. So you understand what I'm saying? Like the tights, the ring gear can definitely, I won't say it can make or break, but it can affect your connection with the superstar.
Yes, I believe you're right. I believe it can certainly have impact one way or the other. Let's see. I enjoyed Alexa Bliss's promo with Kurt Angle. I thought it was funny and awkward, and I liked it.
Her little Me Too promo.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was such a heelish thing to do, and then I also really enjoyed her half run to save Mickey James.
Listen, she's trying to win over as many friends as she can get. She has a championship to protect, you know. So if If doing that means that she can get Mickie James to feel like she has her back without really sticking her neck on the line, then she got to do it. She got to go for it.
Yeah, no, you're right. She needs as much help as she can get. And frankly, I just enjoyed seeing her on TV. Because can I tell you the truth, Greg? We have not gotten enough Alexa Bliss on TV generally. Like, she just hasn't really been that utilized recently. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, they said she hasn't even defended her championship since last year. So I think that goes to your point.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Like, it's just been a minute since she's done anything. Wow, Greg, on eBay, I just saw, I see a absolutely repug ring-worn Macho Man WCW NWO era jacket.
Ring-worn, like though, one of those mage.
Ring-worn. It was one of those ones he wore that looks like ripped to shreds. Like the style of it's just completely, it's a hideous item. How much would you pay for a signed ring-worn Macho Man NWO era WCW jacket?
What material?
It's like pleathery, maybe. It looks like a leather jacket that's cut up. Like there's leather and there's some other like stuff under it. It's like it's weird.
So like a pleathery jacket is like $60 tops, but then ring worn and Macho Man bumps it up to like the $300, $400, $500 range to me.
Oh my God. Greg, you're embarrassing yourself in front of the entire Cheap Heat universe.
Seriously. I'm not spending a dime over 500, but I would go up that high.
It's ring worn. You can't get a ring worn item from an icon for $500. It's currently at $4,000.
Pleather, though? And then, like, are we sure it's signed by him and ring-worn?
Yeah, you know, it has the Beckett Certificate of Authenticity.
It has two certificates of authenticity.
Now, here you go. Here is a pair of Savage ring-worn WCW, signed WCW tights. Also with the certificate of authenticity, $3,200.
And you know what? Him being dead definitely bumps it up too. Cause like once these are gone, they're gone.
Wow. But someone put up a lot of Savage stuff. Ooh. There's a lot of WCW ring worn stuff up right now. Ring worn Hogan, Hollywood Hogan tights. Another ring-worn Savage pair of tights from WCW. I'll tell you what, the real ring-worn Savage you need that you spend money on is the classic WWE tights.
Like the trunks with the stars?
That you have to spend on. It's just big, that's big facts. So yes, I like that we had more Alexa Bliss on television. She needs to be on television more. Okay, she's already tiny. She's 5 feet of fury. She is over. Greg and I saw this firsthand at the Royal Rumble. She wasn't even in the match. And when she comes out, she gets a monstrous pop every time. People right. react to Alexa Bliss. You can't just constantly keep her off television and then have her sitting at commentary and expect her to keep her heat, I don't think. She's got to do things. She's got to cheat. She's got to lie, cheat, and steal. And I don't think she does enough of it. So I was happy to see her on TV. And I'll tell you what. Some of those that are hashtag without a life disagreed. I thought Bayley wrestled a nice match that felt like impactful against Asuka. You know, where like you could see that Bayley had to do everything she could to be in the match, but that she managed to be in the match. And I thought it was a match that elevated Asuka and Bayley.
Yeah.
I just saw Asuka beat someone who I actually care about and have to actually work. Cause remember guys, not everybody watched every match in NXT. And you're like, oh, I forgot. Bayley can be good. It's been a while. Bayley's been getting run over so much. I thought it was good for both of them, Greg.
Yeah, I agree. People want Asuka to have these, like, squash matches and run over people, but I said this before and I'll say it again. If Asuka wins in a competitive match, it does more for her than Asuka winning in a squash match, which I know is the opposite of what we said about Nia Jax. But ultimately, like, if she's going to have this undefeated streak and squash people, then the women's division, like, she makes the whole division look weak. But if she's going to have this undefeated streak and have these competitive matches with women, it makes them all look good by comparison. And this was a good match, like you said.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And what else? Who did Sasha have again?
I don't believe she had anyone. I think she just had the backstage promo.
Oh, she just had the backstage with Bayley.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, I would love for that story to unfold. They've teased at it now a couple times. The problem is there's no chance, maybe undercard, but there's no chance that we get. I mean, listen, unless they really want to keep it real with the women's revolution and evolution, and I would love to see it, but I don't think they'll do it. There's no way they make room for Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, Asuka, and Sasha and Bayley. They just won't make room for it. Although I'll tell you what, Greg, if you're being totally honest about star power, people who move merch, people who kids idolize, I think those three matches are probably all worthwhile. I think you would ultimately put in a men's match that people care about less than one of those matches. Like, when you look at who needs to be on the card, and let's start talking about that, Greg, because we have Nakamura and AJ Styles. We are going to have a Brock Lesnar championship match. Braun Strowman, John Cena, The Miz, and Roman Reigns all have to be on the card.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins has to be on the card. The club, do you imagine at this point Finn ends up in a club match?
Like a six-man tag?
Yeah, something like that.
Against who, though? The New Day?
What about the New Day and the club, baby?
I mean, I could see that. I could see them going for that match, I should say.
It's an interesting spot for the New Day. They can't host again. So, where are we at? And I'll tell you what, right now, the Usos better have a tag match that makes that actual show.
Yeah, because it's time. They've never had one. Like, that's so wild to me. Especially after the year that they've had.
By the way, if you want to make it old school, man, and honestly, when it comes to WrestleMania, I don't know how you don't think old school, because old school WrestleManias are just the most mage. You trying to tell me that you don't start off WrestleMania? And I know that, you know what, some people will boo this. And they'll say, I'm not interested. And so far, I haven't been that interested in what they've done either. But you can tell that with the build, it's happening. Don't you think the Usos and the Bludgeon Brothers for the titles is a fair way to start off WrestleMania?
Yeah, I do fall into that camp of maybe I don't want to see it just yet, but that's because I'm not too into the Bludgeon Brothers right now.
Well, me neither. And listen, I'll be honest. I'm not trying to say I'm amped about the Bludgeon Brothers, because I'm not. I haven't been. But we can tell what they're trying to do with them. So assuming that they're trying to do that, and they're trying to make them super meaningful, listen, we already missed the New Day and the Usos. That would have been a WrestleMania match you have in the middle of the card. But that already happened. So I don't know if the Usos... Although I'll tell you what, though, if they reignited it, the Usos versus Gable and Benjamin could have a hell of a match on in the middle of the card.
Yeah.
But also, that would be a good way to start the show. I'll take it either way. Let me just put it this way. I'm putting it out there right now, guys. The Usos defending the titles should be the first match of WrestleMania. I'm saying that right now. That should be your opening match. They have to be on the main card.
And they're going to open it up hot, too. Like, they've been doing...
That's what they do.
Yeah, they've been doing very well in their matches over the course of the past year. You got to trust them in that spot. Definitely not Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal again.
No. Nope. That's been done. I want a Usos tag match for the titles. You know, that's... Come on, man. This is how we do it. It's WrestleMania 3 style. Let's get right into this. By the way, it's so funny. In real life, they call everybody Us. And it's hilarious because in my head, I pop every time. Like, what's up, Us? I'm like, Naomi says it too. Everyone says Us. And I'm like, and everyone calls them Us too.
So everybody's
and
Us.
Everyone, of course. Oh, everybody's Us. Everyone's brother, man. Everyone's Us. So, did I obviously, I'm sure I just forgot. Okay, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have to be on the card in some capacity.
They're probably going to face each other at WrestleMania, which I'm fine with.
I don't know if they'll be there yet, man. I just don't know if I see it happening yet. They're so fun. I hope they don't rush them. I think they could work at SummerSlam. I don't want to rush them at all. I really enjoy that, even though I think KO's a friggin' no comment. I want to see them at WrestleMania as partners. Did I forget anybody that people will say has to be on the card? I'm not talking about like has to.
Probably Bobby Roode for his first WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I agree. He should be. I don't know if he's a has to. He's a should be. Who else is on the Fastlane pay-per-view so far? Anyone else?
I think that's the only match that's set for the Fastlane pay-per-view.
I mean, he doesn't have to storyline-wise, but just based on who he is, Randy has to be on. He will be on it.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't have to, though.
He doesn't. Randy, at this very moment, just because he has nothing going on, he could be a... I would love Randy to win the... Randy winning the Andre the Giant, I think, would be great.
Yeah, but it was so odd to me that he showed up at number 9 on this random ranking of SmackDown stars. But
well, I got to tell you, I appreciate that they didn't put him at like 5.
Well, yeah, in that regard, Cena's missing too. But yeah, like it's just so odd to me that he even popped up.
Well, Cena's Raw now. I mean, Cena's appears to be Raw. I mean, he's the free agent. He appears to be Raw right now. And Randy, I mean, remember, I didn't think there was any, I didn't know why Randy would randomly beat Bray Wyatt last year at WrestleMania, but he did.
Yeah.
You know, Randy always does what Randy does. I mean, listen, Greg, he hears voices. Did you get a chance to fire up any of the Coliseum videos that have been added to the network?
No, I didn't, man. And I really wanted to. Like, I'm excited about this. It's been a while since they put new content on the network.
You know? 38 episodes of random old Coliseum VHS tapes up there if you haven't looked this week. 38. They're like each one's about between an hour and a half and 2.5 hours, or really an hour and a half to 2 hours. And lots of Sean Mooney, my guy. Lots of Heenan, Gorilla, Lord Alfred Hayes. Just all Coliseum video stuff. Also, if you have not watched 24 WrestleMania Orlando, I recommend that as well. Have you watched that yet?
Nope.
That's a good one. A lot of interviews, a lot of, I mean, Dipperstein shouldn't watch this. Hashtag kayfabe only. Lots of interviews with Undertaker. It's got some cool stuff, man. I recommend that as well.
How do they handle that? Like, the Undertaker stuff?
Just completely, you know, him talking about his fear of being the old guy, and it's a great setup. It's a great thing to watch and then think about him coming back. And I got to tell you, he talks so much about not wanting to look bad. To me, it just solidifies he has to come back for one more and look good. He has to. He can't end it that way. He can't. There's no way around it. He was not at his best last year. There's just no way around it. SGG, we still have a couple of weeks. We still have next week and then the following before Elimination Chamber. Is that correct?
Yes. Elimination Chamber is February 25th. And then Fastlane is March 11th.
And then, of course, the big one. The big daddy. Did you make your plans yet for WrestleMania?
Yeah, I'm already got, you know, flight, hotel. I'll be there.
You've already taken care of it.
I've already taken care of it.
Are you bringing the valet or are you going solo?
I'm bringing the valet for some of the trip.
So she's leaving before Mania?
Yeah, the early days of the trip. And then she's too mage for Mania this year, apparently, so she's getting out of there.
Wow, big facts.
On Sunday.
Everyone, remember, you can always drop me an email with your comments. I got to tell you, Greg, I thought we did an excellent podcast. I thought this energy today was through the roof, and I got nothing. I've been working nonstop. One day I'll describe what these weeks have been like. But
yeah, you were at like an award show.
It's brutal. It's been a lot. It's between the Super Bowl trip, coming back, a lot of other personal things. And then, like, random meetings. It's just been a busier schedule than I'm used to working. But you were tremendous, as always. Rosenberg Radio on the Instagram or Twitter, at Stat Guy Greg as well. I just put up a potential T-shirt design. A With a Life T-shirt design, SGG, is up on my Instagram right now, at Rosenberg Radio. So I'm going to see what the reviews are like and then decide if this is going to be a limited shirt. Have you seen it yet?
I have not. I haven't been, like I said, I just been like laying in bed, just like doing nothing all day. Like,
yeah. Well, let's be honest. That's what people expect from the physically large. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I haven't turned on the TV. I haven't really been on social media. Some things you can't escape, like that Quincy Jones interview, which is crazy, but other than that,
by the way, it just reminds you how people are marks for everything. I'm a huge Quincy Jones guy. It's so random this happened this week. Like, if you were to ask my wife how much I talked about Quincy Jones this past weekend. So I love Quincy Jones, but the fact that he can just give an interview in which he talks about so many random things, some of which are so damning, and everyone took every word as fact.
I mean,
they were just like, Quincy said it.
But that's what they wanted, though. Like, they wanted a compelling interview. They got it.
I get it. And by the way, listen, Quincy's seen everything. I get it. But have you ever met people over the age of 70? Have you ever hung out with parents over the age of 70? People start wilding out and saying crazy shit.
That's what I love about like what I heard. I was like, wow. Not even just like accepting it because he said it, but just because like it was so.
Yeah, they're just unbelievable to say.
So off the wall. No pun intended. But like.
And I'm sure some of it's true, but some of it may not be. Anyways, SGG, do me a favor. Don't eat horse poop. Feel better and stay mage.
Well, I can guarantee you that I'm never going to eat horse poop. Like, you can hold me to that for life. And hopefully I do feel better by this time next week.
And stay mage.
All that aggression inside you, you chose to take it out on an inanimate object. And not only an inanimate object. Hey, shut up. Shut your mouth.